Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Hey, today is a day that we are going to step into a new place of freedom. I think before we leave here this morning, some people are going to step into freedom for the very first time, and some other people are going to step into a brand new place of freedom, a place of freedom and a depth of freedom like they haven't experienced before. Today, I want to talk to you about the context for freedom. The context for freedom in your life. If you have your Bible with me, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're turning to Acts chapter 16. This, many of you will know already, is where we hear the story recalled to us of Paul and Silas being trapped in a Philippian jail. If you've heard this story before, then you already know the end before the beginning. I'm not quite ready for my verse yet. Thank you, Rachel. Then you already know the end from the beginning. I don't know if you have any of those friends who like to read the end of a book before they start the beginning of a book. How annoying are those people? You've ruined the whole point. The author put so much effort into weaving this tale and alluding where things and foreshadowing and telling you and hiding pieces of it, and you just jump to the end and find out who ends up with who anyway. It's incredibly frustrating when you know the end from the beginning. I'm one of those people who is a terrible interrupter of other people. If Phil was right here, he would let you know I am a terrible interrupter of other people. Let me tell you what happens is while you are talking, my brain starts putting lots and lots of pieces together, and I think I already know where you're going, and so I just jump in with where I think this thing is ending anyway. The trouble with that is, even though a lot of the time I'm right, I hit pretty good. The trouble is, even when I know where you're going with this along the path, I miss a lot of the information that you were going to add along the way to where you were going. I miss a lot of the nuance and a lot of the context that was leading up to the end of where we were going. You can tell somebody close to you, I already know where we're going. If you've heard this story before, you know Paul and Silas are going in this prison, but they are also coming back out of this prison. My concern is that after we've been in church for not very long, we know the end from the beginning. We know that victory is coming. We know that freedom is coming. We know that we win on the other side, and we forget the fact that the people who the stories are being told about did not always know where this was going. They didn't already know the end of the story from the beginning, and I'm afraid that because we already know where we're going, we often miss a lot of the nuance along the way. We miss a lot of the context that leads us up to this point because we jumped ahead and we read the end of the story, and so we run past it and we just get to what we think the main point is. And so today we're going to back up a little bit and we're going to read some of the context and the nuance that leads us to this place where Paul and Silas find themselves in the Philippian jail. I hope you have a Bible with you today, whether that's a digital Bible or a physical Bible, so that you can read along with me as we read through these sections of Acts chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, if you haven't been bringing one or you don't have access to one, when service is over today, I would love for you to stop in the corner. Our team has Bibles that we would love to give to you, or somebody can help you download one so that you can read along when you're here, as well as part of your daily devotion when you are at home throughout the week. If you don't, though, good news, we have it on the screen for you. So let's open our Bibles. Acts chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 13. Starting in verse 13, this is how it reads. It says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, and where we were supposed that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. And the one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple good who was a worshiper of God." That detail, a seller of purple goods, means that she was a woman of great wealth and of great authority. And it says that she was also a worshiper of God, and that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after that, she was baptized, she and her household as well. And she urged us, saying that if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So Paul and Silas meet this woman named Lydia, who oversees a household and oversees a business. She's already a worshiper of God, but they tell her the good news of who Jesus is, and she becomes baptized and now becomes a follower of Jesus. She and everyone who was under her authority, and she invites them into her home. And then it says, "And as we were going to the place of worship, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain in fortune tellers." This means that her owners were also people of great wealth. And she followed Paul and us, and she was crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed — your version might say grieved, some versions say grieved, which I think makes Paul sound a little bit nicer, like he was so grieved — but my version says he was annoyed. He was not overcome with compassion for this girl. He was not moved because he saw the depths of her soul. Is there something in your life that you have the audacity to become annoyed with the way that it is out of step, annoyed with the way that it is out of line? Maybe you're not overcome with holy righteousness, but you just simply become annoyed. And Paul becomes annoyed at this young girl. And it says, "And he turned to her in the spirit and says, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of her that very hour." Now, this portion of scripture in some ways seems very confusing, because the girl is following them around, and the thing that she is announcing everywhere that she follows them is that these are men of the Most High God and that they have the way to salvation. And Paul and Silas are indeed men of the Most High God. And Paul and Silas indeed do know the way to salvation. We just saw that that's what they proclaimed to Lydia, that they told her of the goodness of who Jesus was and how she could become a follower in him, and how Jesus is the one way to the pathway of salvation. So in fact, Paul and Silas are men of the Most High God. And in fact, Paul and Silas are those who have the way to salvation. And yet it says that Paul was annoyed that she kept following them around and proclaiming this everywhere that they went. Why is Paul annoyed at this girl for proclaiming what is the truth? To understand Paul's nuisance with this young girl is to understand the confusion that she is creating in the atmosphere and the confusion that she is creating around them. See, they are in the middle of the city of Philippi, and in the middle of the city of Philippi is the Greco-Roman people, who are known for following many gods and for exalting many gods, and to call someone a person of the most Most High God is not a clarifying term in this context, because it is actually saying that he could be a person of any of the many gods that she is simply saying that she recognizes in them some kind of spiritual authority. A term like "these are men of the Most High God" would have been used around many dignitaries who held official offices, would have been used around many priests who stood in many pagan temples, that they are people of a Most High God. What she is speaking to them and of them and about them is not creating clarity, but rather confusion, because it is aligning them with something that is commonly known, as opposed to distinguishing them as separate and as different. And in the same way, in the middle of the city of Philippi are people who are looking for a pathway to salvation. You can find through many historical texts, many writings of those who claimed to have the pathway to salvation, of people who were searching and looking for a pathway to salvation. So interestingly enough, though what she said was accurate, it brought confusion more than it brought clarity. Paul's concern with this young woman, this young girl, it is clear to point out that she is a girl, not a grown woman, speaking of a generation that is coming up. What Paul is annoyed with this young girl, is not that what she speaks is untrue. It's that what she speaks creates confusion instead of creating clarity. You can say what is truthful, but in the context that you say it, it brings more confusion than it brings clarity. And confusion is always the tactic and the spear and the sphere of the enemy, who tries to trap us in a confusing place. If he can create enough confusion in your atmosphere, if he can create enough confusion in your home, if he can create enough confusion in your mind, then he can keep you stagnant. And if he can keep you stagnant, he can prevent you from moving into the path to freedom. Freedom exists outside of confusion. Freedom exists in the place of clarity. There are people spouting portions of truth all over the place, and it sounds accurate because it is a portion of accuracy, but the way that they communicate it, and the sphere that they communicate it in, and the context that it's communicated with, and the intent and the spirit that it's communicated with, and that it comes up from on the inside, does not add clarity to your life. It adds confusion to your life. It doesn't add direction to your life. It adds chaos to your life. It doesn't add movement to your life. It adds stagnation to your life. We are in a moment where we need voices of clarity to stand up and to give directive truth, that here is the pathway of the Lord. Here is the way to salvation. Here is the way to come and find a place of freedom. Not more noise in the midst of the streets, but a clarion call that adds clarity. And Paul will not stand for the confusion that she adds any longer. And so he says to her to be free from the thing that holds her, to be free from the thing that binds her, and to be free from the thing that adds confusion and chaos around her. But it says, but in verse 19, when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Which begs the question, does your bondage pay? Does your bondage benefit you? There are certain bondages that we are eager to be rid of. There are certain bondages that hold us and captivate us in a way that we know we want to part and be free from this, because we can see the way it is destroying our lives. But there are some bondages that are much more elusive than that, because they benefit our lives even though they hold us in place. I used to be very wrapped up in my entwined identity and achievements. That it was how well I did that gave me value in life. And that particular bondage paid well. It earned me awards. It earned me accolades. It earned me praise. It earned me scholarships. It earned me the admiration of both my peers and those ahead of me. It paid well to be wrapped in the bondage of finding my identity in my achievements. But at the end of the day, it is still a bondage. And the bondage that this young girl had is a bondage that paid well. There were many people who were ready and willing to pay for the words that she would speak and the things that she would see. And she had owners who would then send her out and who were receiving the reward from her payment. And when they heard that she had been free, they were not happy about it. And it says that they went and they grabbed Paul and Silas, and when they brought them to the magistrates, her owners dragged them into the marketplace, and when they brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate for customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. They incite to prejudice, they incite to fear, and then they spread a lie." They say to the magistrates, "These men are Jews." They incite the internal prejudice that exists within their context. And then they say they are going to lead to lawlessness in our city, which would have been very unsettling. The magistrates' main responsibility was to maintain peace and tranquility within their region. So they incite them with prejudice, they incite them with fear, and then they have laid the groundwork to plant a lie in the midst that they willingly accept because they are so emotional with their prejudice and their fear that they are now advocating for customs that are not lawful for us Romans to accept or to practice. Because of their prejudice and because of their fear, the crowd joined in on attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them, and they gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. And having received his order, he put them in the inner prison, and he fastened their feet to the stocks. Meaning they were inside the inner part of the prison. They were behind a barred door, and they were also chained to each other and to the wall. But about midnight, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. It was about midnight, and Paul and Silas found themselves inside the prison. They found themselves behind a locked door. They found themselves chained to one another. They found themselves chained to the wall. For all visible purposes, Paul and Silas find themselves almost as bound as anyone can be bound. And yet it says when they were in that place and in that position, they begin to sing prayers and they begin to sing hymns up to God in such a way that even the other prisoners could hear them. This quote from Nelson Mandela from his book, A Long Walk to Freedom, it says, "I realized that they could take everything from me except for my mind and my heart, that they could not take those things, that those things I still had control over, and I decided not to give them away. I decided not to give them away. He must have known the story of Paul and Silas, who found their bodies bound, but somehow said, there's something on the inside of me that I've decided not to give up. There's a song that's on the inside of me, and I've decided not to let it over. There's a prayer that's on the inside of me, and I've decided that it can't be contained. There's a song on the inside of me that no matter where I find my body, I've decided to lift it up. There's a freedom that I contain on the inside of me. Paul and Silas found themselves captured and captive inside a Philippian jail. Yet as they found themselves captive and captured inside that prison, they found themselves not in bondage, but in freedom, because on the inside they had decided, my freedom is not a freedom of my external situation, and my freedom is not a freedom of whatever circumstance I walk myself into and whatever moment I find myself in. The freedom that I have is a freedom that comes from a well deep inside. The freedom that I have is a freedom that you can take everything from me. You can beat me with rods if you have to, and you can take my job if you want to, and you can chain me to this wall if it's what you want, and you can walk me in whatever path you're gonna walk me. But there's a freedom that's on the inside of me, and it comes up in a song, and it comes up in a prayer. And in the midst of that Philippian jail, Paul and Silas found themselves singing praises to God, lifting prayers to God, found themselves shouting a new song of praise, found themselves singing a song of victory when it looked like nothing was going their way. If you find yourself in circumstances that have you feeling bound, if you find yourself in a situation that makes you feel captive, I'm telling you, don't wait until your external situation looks like what you know on the inside. You ought to find a praise in your mouth this morning. You ought to find a prayer in your mouth this morning. You ought to find a reason to say that I know he's always faithful, and I know he's always been good, and he's walked with me in every moment, and he's walked with me in every situation. You've always been by my side. God, you're so good to me, and God, you're so kind to me. God, you're so loving to me. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have walked with me, and I've decided that no matter what my situation, I'll sing a new song. I'll lift up a shout and say hallelujah in the midst of a prison. I'll say hallelujah in the midst of a shipwreck. I'll say hallelujah in the midst of an economic crisis. I'll say hallelujah in the midst of the no. I'll say hallelujah in the midst of the bad report. I don't know what you're battling right now, and I don't know what's holding you right now. I don't know what's been hanging on to you right now, but I'm telling you, it's your praise that's gonna break it out. It's your prayer that's gonna shake that thing, because Paul and Silas discovered there was a freedom on the inside of them, and their freedom started bubbling up. A freedom that bubbled all the way up. And it says, and suddenly, that thing that was on the inside of them came all the way to the outside. That freedom that was on the inside of them came all the way to the outside. And it says there was a great earthquake, so great that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights, and he rushed it in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then they brought him out and they said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his household. And he looked at them, and in the same hour and that night he washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. And then He brought them up to his house and he set food before them and he rejoiced along with his entire household and all that believed in God. Don't miss the nuance because you know the catch line. This story started out with Paul and Silas meeting a woman named Lydia. And when they told her of the goodness of who God was, her and her entire household, everyone under her authority, was baptized. And then her response was a response of hospitality and of generosity. Come into my house. Come and have the response of believers everywhere of hospitality and of generosity. And on the other side of this prison break, there's Paul and Silas again ministering to this jailer who's holding them, and they say to him, you and your entire household, and he and his whole household and everyone under his authority are also baptized. And then he responds the same way as Lydia, the response of believers across generations with an invitation to hospitality and generosity. And he invites them into his home, where they come and they begin to commune together. Hospitality and generosity of Lydia and of the jailer in contrast with the picture of the owner of the girl whose response was greed, was self-righteousness, and was bondage. And so it leaves us with the question, what is freedom? What then is freedom if Paul and Silas found themselves trapped in a jail, trapped in a prison, tied and chained together, and yet they had a freedom on the inside of them? Freedom would be proposed to you as endless options and a lack of restraint. But we know that this is actually not true because an endless supply of options and a lack of restraint are one of the key causes of the anxiety and the depression that we see running rampant currently. You find yourself in a position of endless options and endless restraint, and you find yourself unable to find your bearings, unable to find what's true, unable to find where it is you want to keep yourself and put yourself. Several years ago, I was responsible for running a major conference with several hundred young adults and speakers coming in. You can be seated. I'm going to chat for a minute. See, you thought you knew where the end was, but I know where the end is. I was responsible for a conference with several hundred young adults in attendance and speakers coming from all over internationally who were coming into this place. And so I was running it, and we were a couple weeks out, and there were lots of decisions and lots of options and lots of things that had to be made. I don't know if you have ever genuinely experienced decision fatigue in your life, but I found myself in the middle of a gas station in the candy aisle just trying to pick out a treat because I had been working so hard, and I was just standing there for minutes on minutes on minutes. I am normally a fairly decisive person. And my friend who was with me came around the corner and goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I wanted a candy bar, but there's so many options here. I don't know, And they literally walked over and just grabbed one off the shelf and said, get this one. And I was like, oh, good, okay. Yeah, that one will work. There is something about endless options that actually does not lead you to the place of freedom that we often think that it does. It leads us instead to a place of stagnation that comes from an overwhelm of leading to decisions and leading to a place of unrestraint that we were actually not intended for. I know it sounds lovely to tell your children you can be anything you want to be. You can do everything you want to do. But can I just tell you that I am never gonna play in the NBA? It's not gonna happen. There are certain restraints on our life. There are certain options that need to be cut down and cut back from our life. It is not helpful to say to someone, absolutely every option is available to you. There is absolutely no restraint on your life. There are absolutely no boundaries or edges to the end of this thing. It's not always helpful because now, no wonder, we have a generation with the highest levels of anxiety that we have ever seen in recorded history. No wonder that we have people with higher levels of suicide than we have ever seen in recorded history, because we are overwhelming ourselves with options and we are leaving ourselves without edges and without boundaries and saying that it's freedom. And so now I have to decide where I want to go, and I have to decide what I want to do, and I have to decide where I'm going to live, and I have to decide who my community is going to be. And now I have to decide on a spectrum of things what gender it is that I actually am, and I have to decide what school I want to sign up for, and I have to decide which parent I want to live with, and I have to decide all of these things that are decisions that I should not be having to decide. Because there are too many options on the table. It is the role of leaders and it is the role of parents not to say absolutely everything is available to you, but to say this is your purpose. This is your identity. This is why God called you. This is how God created you. This is the thing you were made for. This is the thing you were intended for. Absolutely every option out there is not available to you, because that is not free. Freedom is not an endless list of possibilities. Freedom is the context you were created for. It's the purpose you were called to. It's the space you were intended for. It's flourishing in the land that God has called you to, and flourishing in the promise that God has called you to. It is someone speaking that identity over your life in a way that helps you say, that's not for me, and that's not for me. This is the thing that is for me. So what is freedom? I like how Paul tells it to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from degree to glory to glory. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. His Spirit is what brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The kind of freedom that Paul and Silas knew comes from a life that is filled with his Spirit. The kind of freedom that Paul and Silas understood is a kind of freedom that said, I understand restriction and I understand restraint. If you go back a couple verses from where we started, it says that they wanted to go one way, but the Spirit told them, don't go that way. That they wanted to proclaim the gospel in Asia, but the Spirit told them, don't go proclaim the gospel in Asia. That they waited until they heard the Spirit of God say, I'm sending you a vision of a man in Macedonia, in Philippi. And that's the place that you go. Freedom is not a life without restraint. Freedom is a life governed by the power of his Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. A freedom that starts on the inside. A freedom that wells up on the inside of your life. A freedom that holds you in every situation. A freedom that says, no matter what my external is, I will praise him and I will glorify him and I will magnify his name, because no matter what's going on around me, there's a freedom in me. There's a freedom in me. And as I lean into that place of freedom, it begins to bubble up and transform my external world. Transform what's going on around me. all across this room, there are people who are getting ready to step in to a transformed life of being filled with His freedom, of being filled with the Spirit of God. Everyone who's in this room could stand with me right now. His freedom is moving through this place. His freedom is lifting heavy burdens. The Spirit of God is breaking weights of heaviness off of your life, is shaking you free from the things that have bound you, from the things that have held you, from the external situations that seem like they'll never let you go. His freedom, His freedom, His freedom. If you're saying today, I want to step into a freedom of being filled by His Spirit, I want to say yes to a life of walking with Jesus. Today is my day to let go of the weights of heaviness, to step out of a life held by bondage and step into a life of following Jesus. Lift your hands right where you are, straight up across this room. I see you, love. I see you guys in the back. I see you, sir, in the across the balcony. I see hands going up all across this place of people who are stepping into freedom of a life with Jesus. Hands are going up. Someone around you has their hand up and you're already a follower of Jesus. Will you just step and put your hand with them as we all pray this prayer together? Say, Jesus, I need you. I'm asking you to come into my life today. I believe in you. I believe in your life. I believe in your death. I believe in your burial, and I believe in your resurrection. Starting today, I let go of a life led by me, and I take hold of a life led by you for all my days. Amen. 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 Come on, church, let's celebrate with some people who just said yes to Jesus this morning. Let's celebrate with these people who have come home to Him. Come on, church.